for the past few months. And in a moment, we'll be talking to CSIRO unconventional gas and geothermal scientist Jim Underschultz to explain exactly what it is and how it works. But first, the Kyuggle Council voted last night for a moratorium on coal seam gas mining until more information is known about its impact on the environment. Kyuggle Mayor Ernie Bennett joins us now to speak about that decision. Good morning, Mr. Bennett.
Good morning, Pam.
Now, councillors voted unanimously to introduce this moratorium. What were the reasons for that?
Look, it came forward as a notice of motion from our councillor Wilson, who requested a moratorium only until we actually understand, through some independent research, the impacts, especially on our water supplies, as well as the environment and personal property.
And will council be commissioning that independent research?
No, they won't. It's going to request the government do that. And so this is, the motion was to actually write to the government and request that they have a moratorium on the drilling until there's a better understanding.
And do you know if the government has any research that they've commissioned that you might be able to get your hands on?
At this point in time, I do not. So we will write to the government and we'll seek out what research has been done. And I guess this was an opportunity to voice the community's concern back to the government about some of the possibilities. Look, at the end of the day, what we don't want is some short-term gain for a long-term pain.
What are the main concerns that you're finding in your community?
Well, the possibility of contamination in water and maybe interfering with the water aquifers, a possibility of dropping the levels, and there's quite a number of concerns. It's the amenity of the area. People concerned about the pipelines that will be going through, and as we had some discussion with Metgasco yesterday, who informed us that all pipelines will be buried. But look, there's a whole gamut of concerns, and the community, I'm not sure how much they appear to have done a lot of research and raised lots and lots of issues. Too many for me to go through.
So the situation in Kyuggle at the moment is that Metgasco want to start exploration in your area?
Not particularly. No. They've been doing a lot of exploration in the Richmond Valley Council area, and there is other companies that have most of the license covering Kyuggle local government area. So I guess the community are concerned about what effects that are going to have. So they wanted to sort of send a message to the state government that they want more information, want to understand it much more before we have holes drilled everywhere through our water aquifers, etc.
What other issues were raised in that meeting with Metgasco yesterday?
Well, predominantly it was an information gathering session. So we invited them some months ago to come and talk to council because we were hearing some concerns in the community. So they came along prepared to deliver a PowerPoint presentation or just talk about the issues and give an opportunity for councillors to ask questions. So council chose to just have a quick discussion and then take the opportunity to ask numerous questions, which there was lots of questions. And look, we intend to go back and frame in writing a lot of the questions to send off to them to have them answered in writing, just so we as a council can understand better and also to feed that information back to the community.
And how were those answers to those questions yesterday? You say that you want more information, so is that an indication that you weren't really entirely happy with what was being suggested?
No. We didn't have the time
right
to go through the process properly.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I guess it was a bit short-sighted. We arranged a time and we were in between. I had a citizenship ceremony just prior, we had a council meeting coming up after it, and we had a certain amount of time, obviously not enough to get through all the issues.
Okay. It seems to be an issue that's uniting two former foes, the Greens and the farmers. Is that what you're finding in the Kyuggle area?
Absolutely. absolutely. Look, I've made sure I spent the time to go around talking to lots of individuals and on occasions groups of people that all seem to have some concern. Some not as concerned as others, but there was some concern right across different sections of the community.
So it would seem that there are people in the Kyogle community who would be unhappy about this moratorium?
Look, I'm not too sure that there's too many would be absolutely unhappy. And look, we're not the determining authority. The state government are. It's just council's taken the opportunity to pass on the views of our community that they want a little, they want a lot more information, and if there's things that government can't give assurances on, they would like the government to actually do the research to make sure we have all the answers and assurances that we're not in for a long-term effect on our landscape and on our community, whether it be the quality and or quantity of our water supply, and all those issues. We want to be sure that we're not stuck with something that somebody takes away a small dollar figure over a short period of time.
All right, Mr. Bennett, thank you very much for joining us. I know that we will speak with you again.
Thank you.
Ernie Bennett is the Mayor of the Kyogle Shire. It is 18 past nine on ABC North Coast. We're joined now by CSIRO unconventional gas and geothermal expert, Dr. Jim Underschultz. Doctor, good morning.
Morning, Pam.
Now, is it important to be informed, and I suppose in two parts to that question, is the independent research available?
Sure. One of the reasons that coal seam gas is an interesting source of energy for Australia is if we look at the energy mix, when we actually go and turn on the electric lights in our houses right now, about 75% of that electricity comes from coal-fired power stations. And of course, if we shift or have a desire to shift Australia's economy to a lower carbon economy, gas shift from coal to gas is an important aspect of that, because for the same amount of electricity, it's roughly about half the amount of greenhouse gas emissions. And there's an interesting second aspect to this, where even further down the track, as we're getting more and more renewables contributing to the energy mix for our electricity grid, and that's things like solar and wind power and wave power, it's presenting an interesting problem for us, because when the power is being generated, it's not necessarily the same time as what the power demand is. And it turns out that the coal-fired power stations are very difficult to sort of turn on and off. It takes several days to actually change the amount of power coming from a coal-fired power station. Whereas gas-fired power stations are kind of like the benchtop cooker. You can turn them on and almost instantly change the power load to the grid. So there's a couple, national reasons on a very sort of large scale why coal seam gas is of interest.
Sure, I guess people would understand that, but also we need to be, or they need to be aware that these new technologies are not introduced at the detriment of their communities and their way of lives and their environments.
Sure, Pam, there's no question that that coal seam gas has its own environmental challenges.
And what are they in particular?
Well, just as we've heard, there's I guess a couple of the main concerns. One is that as we go to produce coal seam gas, the gas itself actually sits within the matrix of the coal, and the cleats of the coal are filled with formation water, and we have to lower the pressure of the coal zone to let the gas come out of off the matrix. Mm-hmm. So it requires producing a fair volume of formation water, and that formation water could be a variable quality. So that's certainly one of the concerns, is that then you have to do something with that formation water when you produce it to surface. And the other thing is, over long term, as we've heard, there are concerns that there might be some impact in lowering the water levels in surrounding aquifers.
Can you just explain, because I'm a little bit confused, is the gas liquid or is it free gas?
Well, the gas is produced, it's absorbed onto the surface of the coal, but when it gets produced out of a wellbore, it comes up like a normal methane conventional gas well. So it comes up the wellbore as a gas phase.
So it's a free gas as it comes up that lift well?
Within the wellbore, yeah.
Okay. And it is methane, or is there a mixture of elements within that?
The main component is methane, mm-hmm. but it depends a little bit on the nature of the particular geology. So some coal can have thermogenic methane that was buried to quite a deep level and then got, at some stage in the geologic history, brought back up closer to the surface. And in that case, there could be a range of other hydrocarbon components within the coal zone, but the bulk of that gas would still be methane. There's other types of coal seam gas of different types of geology where it's more of bacterial-produced methane in the shallow subsurface. And in that case, you have a much smaller range of hydrocarbons in the mix within the coal zone.
Okay. So in terms of extraction, which is the most commonly form of extraction? Is it a horizontal well or a vertical well? Or does it depend on what the resource is?
Sure.
Or the coal seam is, I should say.
Yeah, no, there's a bit of confusion sometimes, I guess, comparing the different sources of methane. Coal seam methane, because the coal seams tend to occur in multiple stacked seams, is produced in vertical wellbores. A lot of the horizontal wellbore methane that you hear about is related to shale gas resources in the United States in particular.
Right, okay. So our most common form is the vertical?
Correct.
Okay. Now, when we talk about methane, and we know methane is a highly explosive gas underground, does that apply to this situation? Is it an explosive combustible material?
Certainly methane is a combustible material, but I guess the way to think about this, it would be that producing it through a wellbore would be very similar to how conventional gas would be produced out of sandstone reservoirs. So there's certainly... if you were a worker working around the wellhead, there'd be a whole series of safety issues with regard to how you would behave around that wellhead because you're producing a flammable gas. But that's pretty typical of the oil and gas industry.
So are the major environmental considerations related to the water that's used in the extraction process and then the water as it's stored after that extraction process has taken place?
Sure. And there's, I guess the way to think about that is the risk associated with, let's talk about the potential for aquifer drawdown or reduced water levels, is highly dependent on what you decide to do with that water once you've produced it. So there's a number of different things that you could do. You could treat the water and use it on surface for things like irrigation or even a domestic water supply. Or another alternative is returning it to the, re-injecting the produced water into a deeper aquifer or perhaps even back into the coal seam zone itself. And depending on the mix of solutions that's used there would have an impact, obviously, on the pressure drawdown in the deeper subsurface.
Is the water, though, of a quality that is going to affect the surrounding environment? If you're talking about putting it back into... the aquifers or putting it back into the landscape, is it highly saline water? Does it have chemicals in it?
Now, the produced produced water that comes with methane production has quite a range of water quality. It's quite mm-hmm. variable depending on where you are, but it ranges from something fairly fresh all the way up to perhaps 10,000 parts per million of total dissolved solids. Sort of the salinity. Now, if you want to compare that, seawater is about 40,000. On average, coal seam production water is around 5,000 parts per million. So you would definitely, if you wanted to make use, depending on what the use you were going to make of that, you would definitely have to enhance the quality of that water through something like a reverse osmosis plant.
How do we find out what that quality might be? For people in this area that are concerned, how do they find out?
Sure, I'm not... specifically familiar with that area, Pam, but in an exploration process, certainly if there was a coal seam gas company exploring in the area, one of the things that they tend to use is they go to the existing well bores that are completed for water resources near the coal zones, and they'll do an analysis of those well bores to see what the water quality is near the coal zones. And actually, quite often they'll look for dissolved gases in the formation water, and they can use that level of dissolved gases as an exploration tool as to where the methane content might be in the deeper coal zones. So that's the first indicator.
Shouldn't we know those answers, though, before the wells are actually bored, drilled, before the whole thing starts?
Sure, you could make use of the existing well bores as a start, so that information certainly is there. Most areas where there's coal seam gas, there'll be some exploration bores have been drilled by the conventional oil and gas industry. And there's also usually a lot of well bores available either from monitoring by the state government or from people that have water supply bores.
Okay, it's quite a complicated and, however, interesting subject. In a nutshell, is there concern in the community, and there is a lot of concern in this community, is that justified?
Well, look, I think the position certainly of the CSIRO is to do the best quality research that we can on a number of these subject matters and provide the research and the data to both the public as well as the government and industry to allow really some of the best decisions that could be made in terms of regulating that industry.
Well, Dr. Under Schultz, you've been very generous with your time. Thank you for that. And I know that this will be an issue that continues to generate a lot of interest in this area. Thanks for your time today. Thank you. Dr. Jim Under Schultz is an unconventional gas and geothermal expert with the CSIRO. It's 28 past nine. This is ABC North Coast Mornings. And continuing our travelling songs, our driving songs, thanks very much for your contributions. This is for Tanya Phillips, Old Ray Charles.